Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Amen. We respond to the callings of the Lord. We respond to him. This morning I want you to rise up on your feet and we begin to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I want you to just thank the Lord Jesus. Just thank him for what he has done for you. Thank him for the salvation of your soul. Thank him for finding you out. Thank him for the good pleasure he has given unto you. Thank him for the life, the new life. Says we are new creature in Christ Jesus. Let's thank him for this love that he has shown unto us. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for touching our heart. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for saving us from damnation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. The great one. The mighty and everlasting God. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For you have delivered us. You have brought us to life. You have brought us to life. You have shown us mercy. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify your holy name. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. We worship the mighty one. We worship the excellent one. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' name. Also, I want you to pray this morning concerning what he had during the believers class. That some of us are still here, you are still carrying that old thought. Those songs. Wrong motives, wrong motives. I want you to just bring it to the Lord this morning. That the Lord should touch your life again. Lord, touch my life. This song, I don't want to sing it anymore. This song, those bad songs, I don't want to sing it again. Those wrong movies, I don't want it in my life again. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We have been redeemed, but some of us are still staying on our old ways, on our old path. That thing is not the best. That life is not the best. There is a better life in the Lord. There is a productive life in the Lord. Lord, we pray that you bring us even to this new life. To be established in this new life. All things have passed away. The old, all things have become new. Let there be newness of life. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have our seats. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Our God has been so good and so worthy For some time now, you know, we've been talking about business, about our life, our work, fruitfulness. And that has been something that has been on my mind. And each time I think and I read the word of the Lord, I found those things in there. The labor, the work, fruitfulness, progress, prosperity, abundant life, treasurable things. Those are the things that were coming to my mind. Last week I was to bring up the word, and I said, no, don't worry, I'll preach. And when he came up, he was talking about the profitable servant. You know, about the one with the talents. And when this finished, I said, you have preached my message. But I kept looking at the word, and these things keep coming to my mind. When we were to do the 3 days prayer and fasting, the thought came again. And the word I kept talked about work, about praying for our businesses, our lives, and things like that. I said, maybe God is talking along that line fully unto us. So on this note, I'm going to continue with what we have learned and what we have heard about profiting. The Bible says in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy says, Paul said to Timothy, said, that your profiting may appear to all. He said, if you meditate, if you do all these things, your profiting will appear to all. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. This is what Paul said unto Timothy. He said, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in words, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands and presbytery. Hallelujah. Verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate God for my husband and all the ministers present in the house. Person of Pastor Bello, Pastor Dele, Pastor Ogi, Pastor Dansu, our deacons, Pastor Akinshusi. And our mommies in the Lord. Our mommies are doing wonderfully in the house, in the church, and their workplace. May God continue to bless each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. All our deacons too, you are all blessed. And everybody is blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. What God is doing in our lives, it's not ordinary. When the Bible talks about profiting, it's talking about gain. It's talking about something that we can take advantage of. It's talking about things that you are not selfish, that you are not useless, that you are not a waster, that you are not something that the Bible talks about in Jeremiah, said that good for nothing. A gadu that was good for nothing. As children of God, we are good for something. And what we are good for is things that pertain unto eternal life. Of course, we are looking for gain somewhere else, but our gain is in the Lord, and that is eternal life. The life that we have, that people around, you know, when they see, they will know that this is a child of God. And apart from that, that eternal life is what we are carrying as children of God, that life that makes us what we are in our soul, in our bodies, in our spirits, in everything that concerns us. And this is a life that Paul was telling Timothy, that you should live this life in your conversation, in your thoughts, in whatever you are doing, in love and charity. All these things are expected of us as children of God. All these things are expected of us, not as sons of God. We say we are sons. We say we are children. We say we are followers. But if all these things are not living in us, if those things are not appearing, or then we are nothing, we are useless. We are like that gado the Bible talks about in the book of Jeremiah. Can we quickly look at it? Jeremiah chapter 13. This is a parable which the Lord said unto Jeremiah. He said, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins, on his waist. And the word of the Lord came unto him second time, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock. And so I went and hid it, and it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after some days that, okay, let me just talk about the story, that the parable. After some days, the Lord said unto him, he gave an instruction, go back and see that girdle where you kept it. He went back. And when he saw the girdle was already marred. It was spoiled because it was kept around water area. It was kept there. It was not useful. The Bible says that this girdle was good for nothing. 7. So then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. It was profitable for nothing. That means that girdle was useless. Talking about girdle, you are talking about something that is like a strength, power, a sash, something that you use, that the priests used to, they used to use it then. You know, when they are dressed up, they put girdle. And if you look at it too, even in Ephesians, a breastplate of girdle or something like that in Ephesians chapter 6. So that girdle was so important. But the servant of God, the children of God, they were behaving as if they had nobody. If you read through the story, you will see how the Lord was so angry with them. I said that the children of Israel, they were like that girdle. They were with me. But after that, some time, they left me. And they were wasted. So also, children of God, that the Lord has called, that the Lord has redeemed. Sometimes, you know, we forget about God. We do things in our ways. We think in our ways. We meditate ordinarily. We forget about God, and after some time, it will be mad. We will not be useful again. But this will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. The parable of the servant, of the profitable servant. I remember some years back when we watched the film on the profitable servant by Mount Zion. The man was there, he was working in a place, but he was not doing what the Lord asked him to do. He was instructed to go to that place so that those people there, they'll be born again, his lifestyle will change, their lifestyle, his conversation, you know, will change them, his thoughts, his ways of life. It was like that. But when he got there, he became unprofitable because he didn't do what the Lord asked him to do. Many of us, we hear instruction from the Lord, maybe through visions, maybe through dreams, maybe through the word of the Lord, but we just decided to keep it to ourselves. We don't carry out these instructions given to us. Paul enjoyed Timothy that those things that he has received and has used in this church, I'm imploring you. And I'm asking you to do those things that the Lord has given you or has spoken to you, even in your night season, while you are praying, while you come to church, that you should make use of it so that your profiting will appear to all. And this will bring me to the life of Paul again and some other men in the world of the Lord. Like Ananias, when Saul, who later became, Paul, when he was to be converted, he met with the Lord. We all know that story. He met with the Lord. At that moment, the Lord thought he was not able to see again. He became blind. There was nothing he could have done at that moment but to surrender himself, because he could not go further. He could not do anything. He was there. But meanwhile, the Lord was talking to another man somewhere about Paul. And that is the person of Ananias. I want us to quickly look at that. Let's look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9 from verse 10. And says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, what? Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called what? Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive the sight. Can you imagine? A man that had not known the Lord before. What the first thing that he did when he fell, when he became blind, was that he was praying. What did he know? What understanding? What did he have? Who taught him? Who gave him words to pray about? Who gave him things to pray about? For the Spirit of the Lord. He was praying. And Ananias, the Lord gave Ananias instruction, go to this place. You will see the man praying. Praying for what? That God should forgive him? Or that God should take him to another level? I was just praying. We were not told what he was praying about. But we heard that he was praying. Maybe he was praying that God, open my eyes. And many of us were once like that. God, open my eyes. So Ananias came and he was able to see when he laid his hand upon him. And the Lord said something that really touched me about the life of Paul. It says in verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen. He said this unto Ananias. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. This we have learned about suffering. Paul was given this assignment Many of us, we have our own assignments. The assignments maybe to come through someone, a man of God, to be revealed to us, or through the word of the Lord to be revealed to us, or through someone somewhere, someday does that word will come and then we can move on. Paul had a clear-cut assignment. I don't know the assignment the Lord has given you, but I pray that the Lord will make you profitable even in your place of assignment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ananias came, laid hands, and Paul became another man entirely. And from then, he was studying the word, he was talking to people, preaching unto them, that preach the word, and he preached the word. And people gave their lives unto Christ. He didn't know much, but he was doing it. Many of us, we don't know much, but that little the Lord has given unto us, let us use it accordingly. Let us say it to our friends at our place of work, maybe in school or wherever you find yourself. Paul started that way. He didn't say, well, I can't do it. But he did it. Moses, I said, he was not able to do it. He did it eventually because grace came. Grace will come upon us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And went ahead and was doing. And at a point, there was need for him to join himself with the apostles. He was almost in a hurry to join them. But thank God for a man of God again that appeared at a point. And that man is called Barnabas. The Bible says this is a son of consolation. And Barnabas not just came around and I think that's okay, thank you. Says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. May you find someone to introduce you, even to the right place in the name of Jesus. He was introduced by Barnabas to the apostles. He could have just been going up and down, but his presence, his association with the apostle was so important. And if you look at the story of Paul and the apostle, the Bible generally, you see the work that Paul did. At a point he said, at least I have done this more than any one of you. I have been persecuted more than any one of you. I have preached, I have laid hands, I have helped. No, so many things he did more than them. But there was need for someone to introduce him. And he was introduced by Barnabas. And he became one of the apostles that did great work. He became so useful. These two people, Ananias and Barnabas, they were profitable servants. They had the word of the Lord, and they went ahead, and they proclaimed, and they helped. Ananias prayed for Paul. Barnabas introduced him. You can see that not only one person can complete the work of salvation in your life. You need another person. It's not even you that have been looking for the person. But there are times that you will look for someone to help you to grow. There are times you need someone to introduce you even to a place where you get better. Many of you are here this morning. We didn't know where you came from. But you are here because one profitable servant brought you here. For someone to have said, oh, come to my church, that means you are profitable. You tell someone, come to my church. Come to Power and Glory Tabernacle. And not only that, someone will introduce you to adoption class. Come and hear the word of the Lord. Come and, you know, build yourself in the most holy faith. And another one will just say, come, come and listen to dire courses. Many of us, we don't do that. We need to tell people, come and hear the word of the Lord. Come and rejoice in the household of faith. Bible says that we should not forsake the assembly of one another. Not just any assembly, but assembly that proclaims the name of the Lord. Those are the assemblies that we are ordered and that we are required to join so that we can be established in faith. We need to be established in faith. We need to work on. We need to move on in the Lord. Paul was so valuable. And one thought that from what I've read and what I have seen in the word of the Lord, Paul was so desirous to bring more. He was so desirous. He brought Onesimus. Can we quickly look at that same Acts 9:31? I want us to look at the things that Paul did. Okay. After he was delivered from Sisera, he went forth to Paul. Acts 9. Let me take it from verse 29. From 28. The Bible says, and he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Sisera, and sent him forth to Tyros. Then had the churches spread throughout all Judea, and Galilee, and Samaria, and they were edified because of the presence of Paul. The church was edified. The church was walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Look at the church was multiplied. Look at what happened when Paul came to Jerusalem. When Paul joined the disciples, a change came about. The church was built. The church people and that church, they were edified. Their life became different. They understood matters of the Lord, things of eternal life. They were so strong, they were referencing God. They were moved in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the church multiplied, the church increased. We all have assignments. We all have work to do. We are profitable servants. And all this must come forth even from us too. And behave like Paul did. And I said that in the life of Onesimus, in the book of Philemon, Paul said to himself, I want to believe that I was apprehended. And I too must apprehend others. Onesimus was a terrible guy. He was a thief. He was a fugitive. He was a murderer? Because if you steal from someone, that means you are ready to kill that person, ready to kill the person he's stealing from. But here, Onesimus was a thief and ran away from his ogre. He was a slave. And for a slave had no control. No, you don't have nothing. He was to serve his master. He was to give himself to the masters. I read somewhere in Luke where the servant said something that his master, you know, when he came around, I think he would travel, and when he came back, he looked at the servant and he said, okay, as my servant, you serve me first. At least as the master of the house, I will eat first. And that happens in our homes too. Sometimes, you know, as the master of the house, though the master may not ask for it, but it is the onus lies on us that the master of the house must eat first. So that servant now said, there is nothing that we are doing that you are even happy about. You have looked at us as unprofitable servants. And no problem. That we have not failed you. We stayed on our duty post and things like that. But here it says that they are unprofitable. But in the case of Onesimus, he became profitable. Because while he was running away from his master, he fell into the hand of Paul. And Paul looked at him and said, you want to run away? There is no way. You must know Christ by fire, by force. And to cut the story short, he became a servant to Paul. If you look at Philemon, talks about it. You read it, there's no time again. He became, you know, a faithful servant. He was helping Paul. And with that, you know, his past, Paul did not even think of his past again. He was looking for a way to redeem him. That he had to tell his Oga Philemon, because he too, Philemon was a kind of follower of Paul, that Paul had to send a letter through one man called Titus or something like that, and said, okay, take this letter. This son, I had him in my bonds. He came to life in my bonds. Through me, he gave his life unto the Lord, and is faithful, is committed, is no more a thief. It's no more an armed robber. Please take him. And, you know, I saw some things about leadership in this Philemon. Because at a point, you know, he was writing that, please take him as he is. Or I will take him as if you are taking me in. As if I am the one that had done that wrong. May you have a father that will stand by you in the day of problem. He stood by this man. He did not regard him as a robber or a thief. He stood by him. And God answered that prayer through, you know, Philemon. Because he said, even whatever he has stolen, I will pay back. Whatever he has taken, whether anything, I am ready to do it back. And I looked at the redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us, we have gone astray. Many of us, we were terrible. Many of us, we were bad. But Jesus Christ stood and said, this one must come back. This one must stay with me. His sin does not matter. This is what the Lord Jesus has done for each and every one of us. His sin must not be returned unto him. He is forgiven. And we have all been forgiven. See, the only problem is that many people don't even know that they have been forgiven. They still hold on to their old ways of life. When we did psychology, they gave us one story there. At least we should all know it. That A dog was tied down. From there, we eat, poo, and the dog was doing everything there. At the point they released the dog, didn't know anything, just stayed on the spot because he was so used to it. Like the story that he told us sometimes back, that when he traveled, he didn't know that he was to enjoy some things, including clothing. He was just there, I was paying. He didn't know that someone had paid the price. Jesus had paid the price for each and every one of us. In case you are here this day and you are not yet saved, you have not even known, you are just following people to church. You have not known, it has not really come to your understanding that, oh, I'm a child of God, I'll be born again, I'm saved. It is time for you to have a rethink. and ask the Lord that he should come into your life, that you are available for him. You have to be profitable at the same time for whatever we are doing. There are so many things, so many reasons why people are not profitable. Maybe association. Some people, their association, their friends will not let them give their lives to Christ, because they will be telling them that, oh, how can I give my life to Christ? How can you give your life to Christ? When people are enjoying out there, you too, you want to go, you don't want to go to parties. You don't want to go to places. Those are some terrible places that people enjoy going. And there are times that, you know, people, they have doubt. They are not sure. Will Jesus save me? Will Jesus give me this? Will I get this thing back in the Lord? Will I get money if I give my life to Christ? Will I be able to get money? Or sometimes you can be thinking, whoa, if I give my life to Christ, will I be able to wear the clothes that I used to wear? Because, you know, we're so used to particular wears, and we have our role model. I'll not be able to wear this type of wears again. Why should I come in? I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it so that your prophet will appear unto all. Paul said unto Timothy that your prophet, can we go back to that place? That my prophesying will appear unto all. 4:15. Yes. Okay. 4:15. Says, meditate upon these things. So that, 1 Timothy, sorry, I'm saying second. Meditate upon all these things. Give thyself only to them. It is time for us to give ourselves to all these things that Paul mentioned, so that our profiting may appear unto all. Let's look at those things again before I round up. It says that, let no man despise what? Thy youth. But be thou what? An example of the believers. In what? Let's take it together. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In what? In conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All these things are important. The word we speak is very important. Your conversation, talking to people, you don't abuse people. You don't talk to them anyhow. And when it comes to charity, you give in your love. It says, let brotherly love continue. And in spirit, be quickened in the spirit, in faith and in purity. May the Lord bless us the more in him, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you rise up and let us just thank God for this time? Let's thank God. Let's appreciate him. Let's appreciate him. Let's pray that you will prosper and be productive in whatever area that you have been called to be, that I shall be productive. In the name of Jesus, my productivity, my profiting, my gain, it will appear to all. What we have in Christ is eternal life. That is our reward. That is our gain. That is our prosperity. That is the life that we have. Lord, we pray this day that you will help us even to remain, that our conversation, oh Lord, will be in line with yours, that the word we speak will be word of peace. It will not be, oh Lord God, word that will bring trouble even to others. The word that I speak, oh Lord, will bring succor. It will bring peace. It will bring joy even to other people in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will help me in the area of love. to love one another. To love one another by praying, by blessing other people, by standing in gap for other people. Lord God, I pray that you will help me, even that my love towards other people, oh Lord, will increase. In the name of Jesus. In purity, Lord, I pray that you will help us, even to live godly. Bible says that we should be godly. Say godliness and contentment, they are great gain. Lord, this gain, this is what I want. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for our people, oh Lord God, that you will give them, oh Lord, great gain. In the name of Jesus. Whatsoever that is pure, let it be spoken in our life. Let it be spoken in our homes. Let it be spoken in our places of work. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for greater things you will do for us. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We respond to the callings of the Lord. We respond to him. This morning I want you to rise up on your feet and we begin to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I want you to just thank the Lord Jesus. Just thank him for what he has done for you. Thank him for the salvation of your soul. Thank him for finding you out. Thank him for the good pleasure he has given unto you. Thank him for the life, the new life, since we are new creature in Christ Jesus. Let's thank him for this love that he has shown unto us. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for touching our hearts. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for saving us from damnation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. The great one, the mighty and everlasting God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for you have delivered us. You have brought us to life. You have brought us to life. You have shown us mercy. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify your holy name. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. We worship the mighty one. We worship the excellent one. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' name. Also, I want you to pray this morning concerning what he had during the believers class. That some of us are still here, you are still carrying that old thought, those songs, wrong motives, wrong motives. I want you to just bring it to the Lord this morning, that the Lord should touch your life again. Lord, touch my life. This song, I don't want to sing it anymore. This song, those bad songs, I don't want to sing it again. Those wrong movies, I don't want it in my life again. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We have been redeemed, but some of us are still staying on our old ways, on our old paths. That thing is not the best. That life is not the best. There is a better life in the Lord. There is a productive life in the Lord. Lord, we pray that you bring us even to this new life, to be established in this new life. All things have passed away. The old, all things have become new. Let there be newness of life. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have our seats. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Our God has been so good and so worthy. For some time now, you know, we've been talking about business, about our life, our work, fruitfulness. And that has been something that has been on my mind. And each time I think and I read the word of the Lord, I found those things in there. The labor, the work, fruitfulness, progress, prosperity, abundant life, treasurable things. Those are the things that were coming to my mind. Last week I was to bring up the word, and I said, no, don't worry, I'll preach. And when he came up, he was talking about the profitable servant, you know, about the one with the talents. And when he finished, I said, you have preached my message. But I kept looking at the word, and these things keep coming to my mind. When we were to do the 3 days prayer and fasting, the thought came again, and the word that came talked about work, about praying for our businesses, our lives, and things like that. I said, maybe God is talking along that line fully unto us. So on this note, I'm going to continue with what we have learned and what we have heard about profiting. The Bible says in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy says, that Paul said to Timothy, said that your profiting may appear to all. He said, if you meditate, if you do all these things, your profiting will appear to all. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. This is what Paul said unto Timothy. He said, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In words, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands and presbytery. Hallelujah. Verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate God for my husband and all the ministers present in the house. Personal Pastor Bello, Pastor Dele, Pastor Ogi, Pastor Dansu, our deacons, Pastor Akinshusi, and our mommies in the Lord. Our mommies are doing wonderfully in the house, in the church, and their workplace. May God continue to bless each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. All our deacons too, you are all blessed. And everybody is blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. What God is doing in our lives, it's not ordinary. When the Bible talks about profiting, it's talking about gain. It's talking about something that you can take advantage of. It's talking about things that you are not selfish, that you are not useless, that you are not a waster, that you are not something that the Bible talks about in Jeremiah, said that good for nothing, a gadu that was good for nothing. As children of God, we are good for something. And what we are good for is things that pertain unto eternal life. Of course, we are looking for gain somewhere else, but our gain is in the Lord, and that is eternal life. The life that we have, that people around, you know, when they see, they will know that this is a child of God. And apart from that, that eternal life is what we are carrying as children of God, that life that makes us what we are, in our soul, in our bodies, in our spirit, in everything that concerns us. And this is a life that Paul was telling Timothy, that he should live this life in your conversation, in your thoughts, in whatever you are doing, in love and charity. All these things are expected of us as children of God. All these things are expected of us, not as sons of God. We say we are sons. We say we are children. We say we are followers. But if all these things are not living in us, if those things are not appearing on them, we are nothing. We are useless. We are like that gadol the Bible talks about in the book of Jeremiah. Can we quickly look at it? Jeremiah chapter 13. This is a parable which the Lord said unto Jeremiah. He said, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins, on his waist. And the word of the Lord came unto him second time, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock. And so I went and hid it, and it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after some days that, okay, let me just talk about the story, that the parable. After some days, the Lord said unto him, he gave an instruction, go back and see that garden where you kept it. He went back, and when he saw the garden was already marred. It was spoiled because it was kept around water area. It was kept there. It was not useful. The Bible says that this garden was good for nothing. 7. Say, then I went to Euphrates and dig and took the gadu from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the gadu was marred. It was profitable for nothing. It was profitable for nothing. That means that gadu was useless. Talking about gadu, you are talking about something that is like a strength, power, a sack, something that you use, that the priests used to. They used to use it then. You know, when they are dressing up, they put gadol. And if you look at it too, even in Ephesians, a breastplate of gadol or something like that in Ephesians chapter 6. So that gadol was so important. But the servant of God, you know, the children of God, they were behaving as if they had nobody. If you read through the story, you will see how the Lord was so angry with them. I said that the children of Israel, they were like that gathering. They were with me. But after just some time, they left me and they were wasted. So also, children of God, that the Lord has called, that the Lord has redeemed. Sometimes, no, we forget about God. We do things in our ways. We think in our ways. We meditate ordinarily. We forget about God, and after some time, it will be mad. We will not be useful again. But this will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. The parable of the servant, of the profitable servant. I remember some years back when we watched the film on the profitable servant by Mount Zion. The man was there, he was working in a place, but he was not doing what the Lord asked him to do. He was instructed to go to that place so that those people there, they'll be born again, his lifestyle will change, their lifestyle, his conversation, you know, will change them, his thoughts, his ways of life, it was like that. But when he got there, he became unprofitable because he didn't do what the Lord asked him to do. Many of us, we hear instruction from the Lord, maybe through visions, maybe through dreams, maybe through the word of the Lord, but we just decided to keep it to ourselves. We don't carry out these instructions given to us. Paul enjoined Timothy that those things that he has received, and as youth in this church, I'm imploring you, and I'm asking you to do those things that the Lord has given you or has spoken to you, even in your night season, while you are praying, while you come to church, that you should make use of it so that your profiting will appear to all. And this will bring me to the life of Paul again and some other men in the world of the Lord. Like Ananias, when Saul, who later became, you know, Paul, you know, when he was to be converted, he met with the Lord. We all know that story. He met with the Lord. At that moment, the Lord thought he was not able to see again. He became blind. There was nothing he could have done at that moment but to surrender himself, because he could not go further. He could not do anything. He was there. But meanwhile, the Lord was talking to another man somewhere about Paul. And that is in person of Ananias. I want us to quickly look at that. Let's look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9 from verse 10. And says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, what? Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called what? Straight. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive the sight. Can you imagine? A man that had not known the Lord before. What the first thing that he did when he fell, when he became blind, was that he was praying. What did he know? What understanding? What did he have? Who taught him? Who gave him words to pray about? Who gave him things to pray about? For the Spirit of the Lord. He was praying. And Ananias, the Lord gave Ananias instruction, go to this place. You will see the man praying. Praying for what? That God should forgive him? Or that God should take him to another level? I was just praying. We were not told what he was praying about, but we heard that he was praying. Maybe he was praying that God open my eyes. And many of us were once like that. God, open my eyes. So Ananias came and was able to see when he laid his hand upon him. And the Lord said something that really touched me about the life of Paul. It says in verse 15, say, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen. He said this unto Ananias. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. This we have learned about suffering. Paul was given this assignment. Many of us, we have our own assignment. The assignment, maybe it will come through someone, a man of God, to be revealed to us. Or through the word of the Lord, to be revealed to us. Or through someone, somewhere, someday, just that word will come and then we can move on. Paul had a clear-cut assignment. I don't know the assignment the Lord has given you. But I pray that the Lord will make you profitable, even in your place of assignment, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ananias came, laid hands, and Paul became another man entirely. And from then, he was studying the word, he was talking to people, preaching unto them, that preach the word, and he preached the word. And people gave their lives unto Christ. He didn't know much, but he was doing it. Many of us, we don't know much, but that little the Lord has given unto us, let us use it accordingly. Let us say it to our friends, our place of work, maybe in school or wherever you find yourself. Paul started that way. He didn't say, well, I can't do it. But he did it. Moses had said he was not able to do it. He did it eventually because grace came. Grace will come upon us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And went ahead and was doing. And there's a point there was need for him to join himself with the apostles. He was almost in a hurry to join them. But thank God for a man of God again that appeared at a point. And that man is called Barnabas. The Bible says this is a son of consolation. And Barnabas not just came around and I think that's okay, thank you. Says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. May you find someone to introduce you, even to the right place in the name of Jesus. He was introduced by Barnabas to the apostles. He could have just been going up and down, but his presence, his association with the apostle was so important. And if you look at the story of Paul and the apostle, the Bible generally, you see the work that Paul did. At a point he said, at least I have done this more than any one of you. I have been persecuted more than any one of you. I have preached, I have laid hands, I have helped. Not so many things he did more than them. But there was need for someone to introduce him. And he was introduced by Barnabas. And he became one of the apostles that did great work. He became so useful. These two people, Ananias and Barnabas, they were profitable servants. They had the word of the Lord, and they went ahead, and they proclaimed, and they helped. Ananias prayed for Paul. Barnabas introduced him. You can see that not only one person can complete the work of salvation in your life. you need another person. It's not even you that have been looking for the person. But there are times that you will look for someone to help you to grow. There are times you need someone to introduce you even to a place where you get better. Many of you are here this morning. We didn't know where you came from. But you are here because one profitable servant brought you here. For someone to have said, oh, come to my church, that means you are profitable. You tell someone, come to my church. Come to Power and Glory Tabernacle. And not only that, someone will introduce you to adoption class. Come and hear the word of the Lord. Come and, you know, build yourself in the most holy faith. And another one will just say, come and listen to diocese. Many of us, we don't do that. We need to tell people, come and hear the word of the Lord. Come and rejoice in the household of faith. Bible says that we should not forsake the assembly of one another. Not just any assembly. But assembly that proclaim the name of the Lord. Those are the assemblies that we are ordered. And that we are required to join. So that we can be established in faith. We need to be established in faith. We need to work on. We need to move on in the Lord. Paul was so valuable. And one thought that from what I've read and what I've seen in the word of the Lord, Paul was so desirous to bring more. He was so desirous. He brought Onesimus. Can we quickly look at that same Acts 9:31? I want us to look at the things that Paul did. Okay. After he was delivered from Sisera, he went forth to Paul. Acts 9. Let me take it from verse 29. From 28. Our Bible says, and he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Sisera, and sent him forth to Tyrus. Then had the churches spread throughout all Judea, and Galilee, and Samaria, and they were edified because of the presence of Paul. The church was edified. The church was walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Look at the church was multiplied. Look at what happened when Paul came to Jerusalem. When Paul joined the disciples, a change came about. The church was built. The church people and that church, they were edified. Their life became different. They understood matters of the Lord, things of eternal life. They were so strong, they were referencing God. They were moved in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the church multiply, the church increase. We all have assignments. We all have work to do. We are profitable servants. And all this must come forth even from us too. And behave like Paul did. And I said that in the life of Onesimus, in the book of Philemon, Paul said to himself, I want to believe that I was apprehended. And I too must apprehend others. Onesimus was a terrible guy. He was a thief. He was a fugitive. He was a, can I say a murderer? Because if you steal from someone, that means you are ready to kill that person, ready to kill the person he is stealing from. But here, Onesimus was a thief and ran away from his ogre. He was a slave. And for a slave had no control. No, you don't have nothing. He was to serve his master. He was to give himself to the masters. I read somewhere in Luke where the servant said something that his master, you know, when he came around, I think he would travel, and when he came back, he looked at the servant and he said, okay, as my servant, you serve me first. At least as the master of the house, I will eat first. And that happens in our homes too sometimes, you know. As the master of the house, no, the master will not ask for it. It is the onus lies on us that the master of the house must eat first. So that servant now said, ah, well, there is nothing that we are doing that you are even happy about. You have looked at us as unprofitable servants. And no problem. That we have not failed you. We stayed on our duty post and things like that. But yet it says that they are unprofitable. But in the case of Onesimus, he became profitable. Because while he was running away from his master, he fell into the hand of Paul. And Paul looked at him and said, you want to run away? There is no way. You must know Christ by fire, by force. And to cut the story short, he became a servant to Paul. If you look at Philemon talks about it, you read it, there's no time again. He became, you know, a faithful servant. He was helping Paul. And with that, you know, his past, Paul did not even think of his past again. He was looking for a way to redeem him. That he had to tell his Oga Philemon, because he too, Philemon was a kind of follower of Paul. That he had to send, Paul had to send to him, sent a letter through one man called Titus or something like that, and said, okay, take this letter. This son, I had him in my bonds. He came to life in my bonds. Through me, he gave his life unto the Lord, and is faithful, is committed. He's no more a thief. He's no more an armed robber. Please take him. And, you know, I saw some things about leadership in this Philemon. Because at a point, you know, he was writing that, please take him as he is. Or I will take him as if you are taking me in. As if I am the one that had done that wrong. May you have a father that will stand by you in the day of problem. He stood by this man. He did not regard him as a robber or a thief. He stood by him. And God answered that prayer through, you know, Philemon. Because he said, even whatever he has stolen, I will pay back. Whatever he has taken, whether anything, I am ready to do it back. And I looked at the redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us, we have gone astray. Many of us, we were terrible. Many of us, we were bad. But Jesus Christ stood and said, this one must come back. This one must stay with me. His sin does not matter. This is what the Lord Jesus has done for each and every one of us. His sin must not be returned unto him. He is forgiven. And we have all been forgiven. See, the only problem is that many people don't even know that they have been forgiven. They still hold on to their old ways of life. When we did psychology, they gave us one story there, at least we should all know it, that a dog was tied down. From there, we eat, poo, and the dog was doing everything there. At a point, they released the dog. The dog didn't know anything, just stayed on the spot because he was so used to it. Like the story that he told us sometimes back, that when he traveled, he didn't know that he was to enjoy some things, including clothing. He was just there, just I was paying. He didn't know that someone had paid the price. Jesus had paid the price for each and every one of us. In case you are here this day and you are not yet saved, you have not even known, you are just following people to church. You have not known, it has not really come to your understanding that, oh, I'm a child of God, I'll be born again, I'm saved. It is time for you to have a rethink and ask the Lord that He should come into your life, that you are available for Him. You have to be profitable at the same time in whatever we are doing. There are so many things, so many reasons why people are not profitable. Maybe association. Some people, their association, their friends will not let them give their lives to Christ. Because they will tell them that, oh, how can I give my life to Christ? How can you give your life to Christ? When people are enjoying out there, you too, you want to go, you don't want to go to parties. You don't want to go to places. Those are some terrible places that people enjoy going. And there are times that, you know, people, they have doubt. They are not sure. Will Jesus save me? Will Jesus give me this? Will I get this thing back in the Lord? Will I get money if I give my life to Christ? Will I be able to get money? Or sometimes you can be thinking, whoa, if I give my life to Christ, will I be able to wear the clothes that I used to wear? Because, you know, we're so used to particular wears and we have our role model. I'll not be able to wear this type of wears again. Why should I come in? I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it so that your profit will appear unto all. Paul said unto Timothy that your profit, can we go back to that place? That my profiting will appear unto all. 4:15. Yes. Okay. 4:15. Says meditate upon these things. So that 1 Timothy, sorry, I was saying second. Meditate upon all these things. Give thyself only to them. It is time for us to give ourselves to all these things that Paul mentioned so that our profiting may appear unto all. Let's look at those things again before I round up. It says that let no man despise what? Thy youth. But be thou what? An example of the believers. In what? Let's take it together. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In what? In conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All these things are important. The word we speak is very important. Your conversation, talking to people, you don't abuse people. You don't talk to them anyhow. And when it comes to charity, you give in your love. It says, let brotherly love continue. And in spirit, be quickened in the spirit, in faith and in purity. May the Lord bless us the more in Him, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you rise up and let us just thank God for this time? Let's thank God. Let's appreciate Him. Let's appreciate Him. Let's pray that you will prosper and be productive in whatever area that you have been called to be, that I shall be productive. In the name of Jesus, my productivity, my profiting, my gain. It will appear to all. What we have in Christ is eternal life. That is our reward. That is our gain. That is our prosperity. That is the life that we have. Lord, we pray this day that you will help us, even to remain, that our conversation, oh Lord, will be in line with yours, that the word we speak will be word of peace. It will not be, oh Lord God, word that will bring trouble, even to others. The word that I speak, oh Lord, will bring succor. It will bring peace. It will bring joy, even to other people, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will help me in the area of love, to love one another. To love one another by praying, by blessing other people, by standing in gap for other people. Lord God, I pray that you will help me, even that my love towards other people, oh Lord, will increase. In the name of Jesus. In purity, Lord, I pray that you will help us, even to live godly. Bible says that we should be godly. Say godliness and contentment, they are great gain. Lord, this gain, this is what I want. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for our people, oh Lord God, that you will give them, oh Lord, great gain. In the name of Jesus. Whatsoever that is pure, let it be spoken in our lives. Let it be spoken in our homes. Let it be spoken in our places of work. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for greater things you will do for us. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.